Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All About Entrepreneurs. Well, we're excited that you decided to tune in to the show today. Heard every weekday morning at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Well, we want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes, get ready to go to another level in your life. Because it's all about entrepreneurs. We have exciting guests who will come and teach you the strategies, the tips, and the tools for you to be a successful entrepreneur. Well, we hope that you enjoy the show. And don't forget, invite a friend. The show is going to be awesome. And now, your host, Coach Lalisa J. Williams.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. How are you, Professor Terry?
Oh, I'm doing great. I tell you, I look forward to these Tuesdays so much. I mean, it's energizing, it's inspirational, it's just all the things that I look forward to each and every day, so I thank you again for this opportunity. But again, hello to our listening audience, and we're going to have a great one today.
Oh, yes, indeed, a great one indeed. You know, that's one of the more popular books out there to help people gain their financial wealth and also their personal happiness as well, Think and Grow Rich. So you're going to be discussing beyond Think and Grow Rich this morning, Living the Essential Lessons. You're going to be talking about being successful two very different things. Talking about being success and actually doing it, two very different things, and people need to know that. So I'm so glad that you're going to be talking about that today.
Yes,
and of course,
yes,
I'll chime in. Yeah, I'll chime in here and there, but you know, definitely, I can't wait till we bring forth this program. We're going to be doing some new things with it, getting the word out there, marketing it in a different way and to a new group of people. I can't wait to let all my students know to tune in to All About Entrepreneurs. And I'm just very, very, very excited this morning about this radio show. So with that being said, I'm going to turn it over to you, Professor Terry Benjamin.
All right. Thank you so much. And again, I can't thank you enough for this opportunity. And, you know, it's sort of interesting because what we do in the program and also what we do in life is really basically the same thing. Because one of the things that I found out for myself, and I'm sure you found out the same thing, Lisa, that basically we are magnets for success. I mean, people who are successful seem to get more success. And I believe that's because it's the law of attraction. We can't get around that. And what I'd like to do, I'd like to just, if I may, just sort of talk about the law of attraction just for a few seconds, because that's going to set the tone for this particular book that I'm going to discuss. Was entitled Everything I Know About Success I Learned from Napoleon Hill, and the subtitle, Essential Lessons for Using the Power of Positive Thinking. And this is by Don M. Green. The thing about Don M. Green is that he is a advocate of the Think and Grow Rich philosophy. And he's also executive director of the Napoleon Hill Foundation. So this is a foundation that really spreads the ideas of Napoleon Hill. Now understand, and this is what is so amazing to me, is that the book that we're talking about for really a couple of programs now, the book entitled Think and Grow Rich. the thing that really amazes me that it was written in 1937. So 1937, and now it's 2013, and we have a new book out entitled Everything I Know About Success I Learned from Napoleon Hill. Now, this is amazing to me because obviously those ideas, those principles, and Think and Grow Rich are very much applicable and very much alive. And the thing that really excites me is the fact that if you got this book in 1937, you had in your hands the blueprint for success. And so many times we're giving these gifts, we are giving these treasures, but we don't apply them to our life. And so when I talk about this book and I talk about living the essential lessons, what I'm saying is that you're taking this knowledge and you're applying. They say knowledge is power, but that's not really true. Applied knowledge is power, because many of us have knowledge. I mean, there are people who have PhDs, have credits beyond a PhD, have knowledge that you and I can only dream to have. But the thing is that they have this knowledge, but they don't apply it. So again, knowledge is not power. It's knowledge applied, which is power. And I want to just read from a book by Brian Tracy entitled Change Your Thinking, Change Your Life, How to Unlock Your Full Potential. And in the book he says here, and I quote, "The law of attraction says that you are a living magnet and that you invariably attract into your life the people, ideas, opportunities, and circumstances in harmony with your dominant thoughts. When you think positive, optimistic, loving, and successful thoughts, you create a force field of magnetism that attracts, like iron falling into a magnet, the very things you are thinking about. This law explains why it is that you don't have to be concerned where your good is going to come from. If you keep your mind clearly focused on what you want and refrain from thinking about what you don't want, you will attract everything you need to achieve your goals exactly when you are ready. Change your thinking and change your life." Now, this is from Brian Tracy, a person who really, this is this book, Think and Grow Rich, as one of the major influences of his life. And so then you have the gentleman named Don M. Green, the executive director of the Napoleon Hill Foundation, and we find him, he has a whole book around this whole concept of Think and Grow Rich. And I just tell you, Lisa, most of the successful people that I've studied, like Les Brown and Anthony Robbins and Brian Tracy and Darren Hardy, Bob Proctor, Michael Bernard Beckwith, all these people have this book, Think and Grow Rich, in their libraries. And the book I'm going to talk about now is really based on the ideas that Napoleon Hill really put together back in 1937. And so again, the first thing I'd like to talk about is these chapters in his books. I mean, the chapters really tell us what this is all about. There's a chapter on purpose and belief. There's a chapter on desire and discipline. There are a chapter on habits and perseverance, frugality and self-reliance. There's a chapter on mentors. There's a chapter on visualization. There's a chapter on thinking. There's a chapter on perseverance and passion. And there's a chapter on legacy. And that's where I'd like to start. I'd like to start with legacy. This is from the book entitled Everything I Know About Success I Learned from Napoleon Hill, subtitled Essential Lessons for Using the Power of Positive Thinking. And so, you know, you're talking about legacy, and legacy is something that we leave behind. I think we owe it to ourselves and our students and our family and our friends to really develop something that they can take and use themselves. And so, again, it goes to the whole question of mentors. And I know you as well as I, Lisa, whether we like it or not, whether we mean to be or not be, we are mentors to many different students. I know you as well as I mean, you're going about the business of your life and you meet students that you taught maybe 10, 20 years ago. And what happens is that they remember our teaching. And so in the book here, it talks about mentors. It says here, choose your mentors carefully, because if you learn the principles of success and apply them someday, you will probably surpass their accomplishments and leave your own legacy. So the legacy that we are building for our students, for our family, and for our friends, is a legacy that no matter what we have accomplished, Lisa, that our students should be, go beyond that. You know, I tell my students, you know, if I introduce you to the book Think and Grow Rich and you read that book, well, you are ahead of most people that live on this planet, because you know there's something that you have that they don't have. They can get it, but again, they don't have it because nobody introduced it to them. The law of attraction was something I've always been about. I didn't know what it was until I read the book entitled Law of Attraction. And what I did with that book is I decided to read all the authors that were featured in that book. Everybody that was in that book, about 30 authors, I decided to read their books. And what happens, you know, we talk about success, and we talk about the habit of success, that success is no accident, and that if you want to be successful, you really follow the example of people who are successful. And understand that this book was written in 1937. And I just want to give you a little background on the book from this from the book we're discussing. It says here, and this is really interesting because this is from the introduction. It says here, and this is Don M. Green speaking. He said, since I was a lover of books on success, including biographies, I became partial to Dr. Napoleon Hill because his works have endured for close to a century. Napoleon Hill's classic, Think and Grow Rich, was first published in 1937 when I was in my 20s. I discovered Think and Grow Rich, which has sold out its first printing in 6 weeks, even though it was priced at $2.50 in the middle of the Great Depression. This bestseller was reprinted 3 times in its first year. Today, first editions are offered for sale at $1,000 or more. It has been continually in print for more than 70 years and still sells well. A recent survey of best-selling business book ranked The Think and Grow Rich as the number 15 motivational book of all time. Most such best-selling books disappear from the bookshelves after 12 to 24 months, but continuous demand worldwide has made this one of the champion titles in history. Think and Grow Rich has influenced millions of people. Motivational writers and speakers today will quickly tell you that they were deeply affected by the book. And so again, going back to 1937, and he also talks about, in this particular introduction, he talks about Samuel Smiles, who wrote a self-help book entitled Self-Help in 1859. And he wrote about the human ability for self-improvement and wrote action stories that showed persistence. And the thing I love about these two examples, 1937 and 1859, was showing that throughout the history, throughout the development of man from the very beginning, he was all about self-improvement. And that's why I think these books are still so popular, because I think in our DNA we have the desire to be the best that we possibly can be. We have the desire to do more than we did a year ago, maybe sometime even a day ago. We really have the desire within us to do better. That's why I think that at this particular point, the whole question of entrepreneurship is so crucial. You know, we really have to become the person that can take care of ourselves, because self-reliance is very, very important. Not that we don't need other people, but we do need to take care of ourselves. And the thing that I really like about this book and all these books that we are reading and bringing to our listeners, Lisa, is the fact that all self-help books, and I'm saying all, and I'm saying this is a very bold statement, but all self-help books are based on biblical principles. Because, again, back in 1937 and definitely in 1859, the biggest self-help book was the Bible. That's why as I read these business books about achievement and success, they always go back to the Bible. As a matter of fact, on page 16 of this book, there is a quote, and it says here, we become like those with whom we associate. A mirror reflects a man's face, but what he is really like is shown by the kind of friends he chooses. And this is from Proverbs 27:19. This is based on the self-help principle that we are really the sum total of the people that we associate with. So our association really helps us. Like the Bible says, you know, useful habits really make a difference in our life. And the self-help books say the same many different ways, but again, it's the same thing. In the book here, Don M. Green says, don't ever be afraid to ask for help. Otherwise, you are not likely to reach the degree of success that can be achieved with the right associations. Again, it comes to association. And I remember one of my students asked me, Professor Benjamin, what if you're in an environment where people are not positive? What do you do? I said, that's when you go to mentors. And then he says, what if I can't find anybody to mentor me? Well, I said, well, that's when you go to books, okay? Because what happens, books are what's going to make the difference. You know, maybe you can't find somebody to mentor you one-on-one or face-to-face, but you have books. You have the thoughts of many geniuses throughout history, and you can do that. I like to read from this page 65 where he says here, Don M. Green says here, books can open the door and show you a world of new ideas. In many cases, books can also change your thoughts and your outlook on life. Books contain countless stories of young people who overcame adversities and reached the top. Examples that you can relate to that will no doubt thrill you and inspire you to learn from others, obtain the best education possible, and make something worthwhile of yourself. Now, this is from page 65 of the book that I'm talking about. But I like this book because each chapter began with a quotation from somebody famous, and this quotation from Mark Twain prefaces this chapter on books. And Mark Twain says here, the man who doesn't read good books has no advantage over the man who can't read them. Okay, that's really powerful. That's a powerful statement about books. And Don M. Green goes on to say, stories of people going from failure to success serve as examples of what can happen, a result of continuous forward marching. The last point that I'd like to make as we go through this book is that there is so many ways to become successful, but I think the biggest way to become successful is, as Napoleon Hill talks about, discover your burning desire. What is that thing that you want to do no matter what? And once you find that burning desire, you move forward, but you move forward with discipline. And so I'd like to end this part of our discussion with just two quotations from the book. One is about accomplishment, desire, and one is about discipline. And it says here on page 81, the power to become what you want to be, to get what you crave, and to accomplish what you strive for lies within you. You are the one person who can bring it from within and go toward this accomplishment you so want. And the last quotation here from page 84, Don M. Green says, discipline is a quality that you must learn. And the quicker you learn discipline and put it to use, the faster you will travel on the journey that others who have little or no discipline will only dream of. Well, I'm going to read that again because that is so key. Discipline is a quality that you must learn. And the quicker you learn discipline and put it to use, the faster you will travel on the journey that others who have little or no discipline will only dream of. And so the book is entitled, Everything I Know About Success, I Learned from Napoleon Hill. Subtitled, Essential Lessons for Using the Power of Positive Thinking. It's by Don M. Green, Executive Director of the Napoleon Hill Foundation. And so, Lisa, it really just goes back to the fact that we can't just read these books, get this information, and just sit on it. We have to take this knowledge, this wisdom and understanding, and really apply it to our real lives. We have to take action on the things that we know, because without action, all the things that we want, all the things that we desire, are really just fantasies. Because without it is action that makes these dreams come true. And so, again, I want to thank you for the opportunity to bring this information to our readers. And also understand this, that as I read these books, as I digest these books, as I give them to you in the audience, I'm learning. So, really, one of the things about teaching, and you know yourself, is that it's an old proverb that says, when you teach, you learn twice. And so, again, as a teacher, you are a student, and as a student, you want to learn as much as you possibly can. So I love the idea that I can really read these books and share these books. Again, the book that I just talked about that I really want our listeners to go out and get is a new book entitled Everything I Know About Success I've Learned from Napoleon Hill, Essential Lessons for Using the Power of Positive Thinking. Don't just think positive, but be positive, and that's action.
Okay. That's a lot being said about in action. Very good. I'm excited. That is awesome. Certainly a wonderful book. I read Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. I didn't get a chance to read Dr. Dennis Kimbrough's book yet.
Oh,
because,
yes.
I got so much out of Think and Grow Rich that, wow, you know how sometimes you can eat something and feel sad? But I definitely appreciate this topic. This is a right now topic. So many wonderful things that was brought out and about self-help and empowerment. You know, people really are starting to get the message, I believe, around the world of how important it is to understand these principles of self-help and that you can motivate yourself or get around people that are motivating or read a book, like you said, and read a book even if you can get around people, because the book is only going to expand information base and the knowledge you have that much more.
Yeah. And the funny thing about it is that, you know, again, most of these authors are available on YouTube, like Brian Tracy, Wayne Dyer, Les Brown, Darren Hardy, all these people, you know, you can go on YouTube. And the thing about the internet, I know for myself, I'm really just beginning to realize the full capacity of it. I just actually put together for myself a YouTube channel. And I'm putting videos on that. And I tell you, Lisa, it's just amazing how the message that you have and you think is a personal message, how it resonates among other people. Because we just put the YouTube video out. We have, as a matter of fact, I'm doing a talk on Sexy at 60, talking about the five principles. And just by putting it on YouTube, I've gotten so much attention and feedback on it. And so I'm saying the ideas that we are talking about, that we're dispensing, are universal in the sense that everybody's talking about entrepreneurship. You know, when you came with the idea about all the entrepreneurs, at least you hit something that resonates with many, many people, because we realize, unfortunately, that you know what? You have to take full responsibility for your life. I mean, it's no longer a thing where you rely on employers to give you the money that you need to survive. And, you know, it's so funny that you and I are up at 7 o'clock in the morning. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been up since 5. And one of the secrets of success, those people who are successful, are early risers. And we talked about this some time ago about, you know, the key to success is being up early, because you want to start your day early. And I know for you, if you're doing this program every morning, and so between the hours of 6 and 8, you've already touched a lot of people, touched a lot of lives, and done a lot of work. You know, and so again, I mean, I think you have to understand that, you know, the things that we're giving them, well, things that they can use right now. And it's not anything abstract. What we're talking about are not abstract things. What we're talking about are things that can be used. And, like, you know, if you have mastered the principle of Think and Grow Rich, everything else is just added to that. Everything else is just interpretations and expansions. But if you understand the basic principles that were actually presented in the book of 1937, if you understand the basic principles, all you're doing is add into that. I mean, it's just amazing what we have at our disposal that we don't take advantage of.
Yes, so true, so true. And we do have so much. I'm just enjoying the fact that, you know, self-help, like you said, has been around since the Bible, and so
yes.
many self-help topics are right there, and it's certainly wonderful to be in a field that there are so many people that are attached to everybody, actually. Everybody needs self-help, so.
And I think what happens, I think a lot of people, for some people, just too simple. Like in this book here, he says here, I'm not trying to tell you some particular way to get rich, as there are literally thousands of ways to become financially secure if you have a passion and are willing to work hard, develop a plan or plans, and involve others and persist. So again, number one, have a passion. Number two, work hard. Number three, develop a plan. And number five, involve others. And number six, persist. I mean, that's it. You know, those five things, if you do those five things, you will be successful. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. I mean, people tell me they want to lose weight. Okay, if you want to lose weight, here's a simple key, okay? Eat less and exercise more. That's it. It's not complicated. That's it. You want to be successful, you follow these principles. It's like the law of gravity. What goes up must come down. And that's why, you know, Lisa, it really amazes me at the number of people who are not successful when the tools are at their disposal. But either they don't do the tools or use the tools the way they should use them, or they want to do things their way. And I'll tell you, it's no sense trying to reinvent the wheel because it's already been done. And, you know, there is no improvement need to be made. And the same thing with the success principles that we're talking about. If you know the principles and you do the principles, you will become successful. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But for some people, that's just too simple. That's like me giving you, money for a item, and I give you the money. Instead of you going to the store, you waste time and you maybe stop and buy something else, and then you come back to me and ask you, well, did you get what I asked you? And said, no, I got something else. But that's not what I wanted, because I wanted a particular thing because I wanted to do a particular thing. So I'm saying that the principles are right there in front of us, and all we have to do is apply the principles and we'll be successful. I guess that's too simple, right, Lisa? That's too easy. We want complications. We want reality TV drama in our lives, I believe.
I know, right? My mother used to say things like, that's too much like right.
Yes. My brother said the same thing. That's too much like right, you know. Wow. And, you know, and again, I mean, it's so funny because a lot of these things that we're talking about, it's really common sense, you know. It says here, material for becoming success is not complicated, you know. It's not complicated.
Here's what my psychology 101 said. Now, this was at Essex County College back in 1990.
Uh-huh.
And he has since passed away. I thought he was a dynamic professor. He was amazing. But this man would say, this was psychology 101, remind you, and he would say,
okay,
just tell you right now something about common sense. He said, number one, it's not common. And everyone does have it. He would say that. And when he said that, now, here I sit, age 32, in his psychology class, and he says that,
mm-hmm.
and I'll never forget it. He said, number one, it's mm-hmm. not common. He said, I don't know why it's called common sense. It's not common. And everyone doesn't have it. I'll never forget that. And the way when he said that, it just opened my eyes to so many things. And now when people say things, or when we think things, well, that's common sense. Well, remember, though, shouldn't they know how to do that? That's just common sense. Well, don't forget, common sense isn't common, and everybody
right.
doesn't have it.
Well, see, that's the thing, and sometimes we assume We assume that everybody has this. We assume that everybody wants to be successful. And there's some people who don't want to be successful because they don't want to take the time to do it. And that's okay. But the thing is that you have to understand, you know, you can't get an A giving me C minus work. It's just not going to happen. You can, you know, you can wish for that. You can pray for that. Unless you give me what I feel is A plus work, it's not going to happen, you know.
Well, Terry, here's what I believe is a problem because, you know, working with students as well, and especially working with incoming freshmen.
Yes.
And this first time, you know, all these years I've been teaching, this is almost the first time. I did it one time for about a year back with the special programs department. But this is really my first time working with incoming freshmen. Before, I was always teaching in the business department, and most students don't take their major till they've been there at least a year.
Right.
So I was meeting
That's
students, and then for like 5 years, I was only teaching the 201 classes. So I was meeting them in their last year. Okay.
Wow.
Already had a lot of experiences under their belt. I've never taught any of the developmental courses or anything. So this is my first time working with incoming freshmen. And one thing I'm learning from them and by talking to them, because some of them are coming fresh out of high school, that they were never told, many of them, the connection, I don't think they were ever shown the connection between when you say, okay, turn in C work, we'll get you a C. Turn in A work, A. I don't think that the connection had ever been made for them. I think they were just, here's the lesson. You go and do it and turn in what you get, and what you get is, you know, what you're going to get. It's not like a thing where you can do better. I'm just keeping it real. I'm just thinking back to my own days in high school when I end up flunking out.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that I'm seeing that in some cases that's the missing link, that there are, I don't know if it's teachers, I don't know who's doing it, but somebody, and I believe it has to be teachers because parents will usually tell you that you can do better.
Right.
My mother used to beat me and tell me I could do better.
You do better else.
I used to get beating when I did poorly in school. But I don't know if it's the parents who are not telling kids this. I really believe it has to be in that school because if the child doesn't know that they can do better, they're not told this, I don't see how they're going to try. And if a parent tells them, well, the kid is like, but you're not there in that classroom with me.
Yes, yes.
You know what I mean? I don't know. That's just my assumption probably. It's the sense I'm getting from these students. They're acting like when I'm pouring on them, when I tell them this, they act like I'm giving them fresh water.
Yes. And that's so sad because some of them have gone through high school and graduated from high school, and they come to college, and it is a big shock because, you know, in high school, if you were a good guy and a good girl, that's all you needed. But in college, you have to show progress. I mean, you just can't go through the motions. You know, that's why I laugh when students come in and the first day of class, I ask them who wants to get an A from this class, and everybody raises their hand. By midterm, I see who's going to get an A and who's not, because obviously you haven't done what I told you to do. You decided that, you know what, it's too hard. It's too much of an effort. And most people are not successful because they don't want to put forth that extra effort. And that's why I think passion is so important. In the book, it quotes George Lucas, who says, you have to find something that you love enough to take risks, jump over hurdles, and break through the brick walls that are going to be placed in front of you. If you don't have that kind of feeling for what it is you are doing, you'll stop at the first hurdle. And this is from George Lucas, a very well-known, respected filmmaker. And for many students, I mean, they get that first hurdle, and, you know, they get knocked down, and instead of getting up, they just sort of slink away and don't do anything else. And I think, again, once you have that passion, you know, one person said that, you know, I'm going to fail my way to success. You know, I'm going to move from one failure to the next with enthusiasm. And that's what passion is. And that's why I tell most of my students, well, all my students, really, that, you know what, Passion is key. Find your passion, and you'll find your path. Because I know now with this filmmaking thing, there's a lot of things that I did not know that I had to learn. But you know what? I'm learning with gusto because this is what I want to do. And there are obstacles, there are hurdles. But you know what? There's nothing that I can't overcome because I'm looking at the final result. And I've been around people who have done films and who have created films from nothing. You know, right now we're engaged in this churches making movies movement, which we'll talk about a little later on in subsequent programs. But churches making movies, the concept is that churches are actually making movies. I put up a website entitled www.churchesmakingmovies, where we have actual churches, congregations, making movies within their churches. And the movies that they're making are top-quality movies. And I know, because I talked to many of them, that they went through hurdles, I mean, to raise the money for the film, to get actors, to get locations, to get the music, to get the right people in the right roles. These are things that they had to go through, but they did it because they want an alternative to the movies and images that are sent out through Hollywood. And again, it goes back to responsibility. If you want something different, then you have to produce something different. Hollywood is going to produce the same movies because this is what makes money for Hollywood. None of their films are faith-based, which is the churches making movies idea that these are faith-based movies. But you know what? They're not corny. They're not dull. They're not uninteresting. They are films that are based on faith, on Christian faith. But again, they are entertaining. They are inspirational. And they are really, at this point, more so than needed. And so you're going to find that, you know, once you decide what you want to do, you'll go and do that thing if you have the passion for it. That's why I ask students, what is your passion and what makes you happy? If you know what your passion is and you know what makes you happy and you do those things, you'll be a happy person. And as you spread your happiness, other people will get that because I think that passion is infectious. If you are passionate about what you do, people just sort of come along. They swept along whether they want to or not. And that's why teachers like yourself and myself, what we bring to our classroom is our passion for wisdom and knowledge and understanding, and make it an extra bonus for us because we bring in spirituality, which is something that they all need and also is something that's missing. And so, again, what we're doing, I know, is more than worthwhile, and I keep on doing it because I'm passionate about it, and as well as you. So, again, you know, Think and Grow Rich is more than a concept. As Dr. Dennis Kimbrough, our friend, always says, you know, Think and Grow Rich is a choice. You know, so you make the choice to be successful or unsuccessful. It's up to you.
So much up to you. But, yeah, they're promoting Think and Grow Rich all the time still.
Yes,
very, very powerful teaching. And very great teaching to help people. And, you know, I'm all into the success thing. So thank you. I was just success. I love it. I love everything about success.
Yeah. It feels good, don't it? It feels good.
You know, and I release your power. It's becoming more successful as we speak. So I appreciate you and all your encouragement and the work that you do as a friend, as a professor. Oh, my God, it's so many people that you're helping. And, you know, you just help so many people over the years. Got to be thousands. It's not, you're probably up in the six figures already.
Is that something, yeah? But again, this is my passion, and I cannot do this. I cannot do what I do, and I love what I do, and I enjoy what I do, and it makes me feel alive. It's as simple as that. I mean, this is my life blood. If I didn't do it, I would be less than a person. So no, I mean, I accept the compliment, but you know what? I just want to give that to you and say, you know, you do the same thing, and that's why we have associated. That's why we've been friends for such a long time, because, you know, like minds attract like minds. And going back to the whole law of attraction, along the way, I've attracted people and circumstances and opportunities, and you've been with me all the way, you know?
Yeah, I tell you. Doing what you love, I still... still on that, and I'm still committed to it. And when you, you know, when you flow in that passion, things just begin to show up. When you're operating in your destiny, there's already things laid out in that path, and it's right there just waiting for you to, you know, get out of going in another direction. So I'm all for that. Do what you love. I'm all for that. Tapping into your passion. As a matter of fact, that's part of our theme this year at our women's conference that'll be in Newark. Oh, I can't wait for that. It's this year. It's going to be exciting, August 24th.
Wow.
No matter what, we will be there at the brand new Marriott Hotel where they're opening up a Joe's Craft Shack downstairs.
Oh, man, that's great. That's great.
Yes. So it's going to be awesome. For those individuals who haven't gotten your ticket yet, please do so. Go to our website, womenleadersandentrepreneurs.com. We have so many people coming that day, so we're just excited. But that's what we're doing, telling people, hone your passion. You know, own your theme this year, own your power and hone your passion. And so many people, they're not quite sure what they're passionate about. But something that you said on one of the shows as you were discussing one of your books, that you said that look at the thing that you've been doing like the most of, or look at what you've been doing for a long time.
Yes,
look at
the
thing that gets you jump started. And, you know, and when I looked at it, I'm like, oh, my God, I've been teaching, actually standing before students since 97.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Doing motivational speaking.
It's amazing.
Standing before students. Well, actually, the motivational speaking was first, but the funniest thing is that it was a training program that brought me in to motivate their students. So that was in 97 with the one of the first welfare-to-work programs that they had started when that new law had passed. And those people they were looking for, they wanted motivational speakers, and the lady told them about me, and they brought me in. So that was 97. And then
wow.
I started as in 90, I believe it was 99, I taught my first GED class.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was the class that I taught. And I've been teaching ever since. So, you know, it was like 14 years later.
That's amazing. But again, when you find your passion, I mean, it's something that you never get tired of. I never get tired of reading and writing and researching and meeting positive people. I never get tired of that. I find energy where I feel I don't have it. I mean, that's it. I'm up every morning at 5 o'clock, and I don't go to bed until 11. And all through that day, I'm really doing what I love to do. And it's, for me, it's like food. It's like what I need to live, and then I just try to pass it on. That's all. I just pass it on because I can't keep it to myself. You know, the Bible says it's like a fire burning in my bones, and I have to shout it out. I have to share.
Well, great topic again. We'll be back next Tuesday with another powerful topic from Professor Terry. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening, and please pass this good information on. Do not keep it to yourself. And we're glad to be here, glad to be of service and of help to all those that are getting help. So, Professor Terry, until next week, you have a wonderful one. Enjoy the rest of your week as you continue to enjoy your summer.
Thank you again. All right, bye-bye.
Awesome. This has been Professor Benjamin and Coach Lalisa Williams.
That's right, there's no stopping you now. Well, thank you for tuning in to another segment of All About Entrepreneurs. Don't forget, stop by our website, www.blogtalkradio.com/allaboutentrepreneurs. And visit us on the web at www.release-your-power.com. Like our friend page on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at twitterandfacebook.com/CoachLalisa. If you would like to get in touch with one of the entrepreneurs or one of the guests that you've heard on this show, please send us a request on Facebook.